Well, let's talk about the community from a furniture angle. From where I sit, the consulting firm of Michael A. Dunlap & Associates. Mike Dunlap, we've got you on the phone today. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Shelley. Always good to be with you on a, say happy Tuesday, anyway. You know, first Tuesday of the month. Some past years, we've been sitting in a pile of snow. Fortunately, we're not yet today, but we know it is coming anyway. But we will be more serious. We're here to talk, educate, inform, and entertain our audience. So let's go to work, shall we?
Super. Let's talk about what we discuss as we do approach this end of 2019. What have we seen or learned during the past year, according to your numbers?
Well, Shelley, I'm seeing and still learning about what, or I think, are the next stages of seeing and experiencing a significant change in the designs of buildings and furniture and for the entire field of working environments. I mean, many of the new products we are seeing are radically different than what we saw 15, 10, or even 5 years ago. This is going to continue for the foreseeable future.
Expand on that, if you would.
Well, we used to adjust our work to fit our furnishings and the building environment, but now we're seeing products earlier designed around how and where we work. It's an evolutionary process, but you know, more than a decade ago, I coined an expression, crossover furniture, mimicking the same term for multi-purpose vehicles on our roads and highways. But a few years ago, there was another new word floating around the industry of resimmercial, which is obviously a blend of residential and commercial furniture. And it's already kind of become a passe cliche, but it's still accurate. But I tried to refer to it as a vertical work environment, which is a rather descriptive, but I think the next term might be a pod or a booth, which is much shorter terms. And I think that the new trend will continue and spread around many other competitors. But it's another new product for the working environment.
Describe this a little bit more, if you can.
Well, it's a place where an individual or a small group can gather and have a quiet, if not private, meeting space outside their more traditional open-plan environments. I mean, they're soundproof and even have some of their own heating, ventilation, air conditioning systems. They have electro plug-ins, you know, for both power and USB. You know, somebody still has to bring the coffee and the water, though.
Yeah.
You know, it lacks.
So why not just go and do, I'm thinking like a conference room or an empty office to have a private conversation?
Well, I've asked that myself for the same question several times. But the designs of new office environments actually have reduced private spaces, if not eliminated, and enhanced even more collaborative spaces. And, you know, in many meetings, and it may only involve two or three or even four people, so you don't need a big office or a conference area, you know, maybe a conference room designed for 25 or more people to hold a meeting for the, you know, so the pendulum kind of swings both ways, Jolly.
Yes. We've talked about the where question many times on this program, so can you talk about that a little bit?
I'll be happy to, Shelley. It's a short but never ever expanding list. The commercial furniture manufacturers focus on the office, education, and healthcare markets, but you and I have discussed the hospitality market industry too, and this is a very significant market that is growing rapidly. So it's really about where we work.
I want to shift the direction of our conversation and talk about the hospitality market here.
Oh, sure. I got a question for you, Shelley. What does hospitality mean to you? I mean, is it restaurants, hotels, casinos, resorts? What comes to mind?
I'm thinking as basic as the restaurant or the treatment in our local hotels.
Well, it is all of the words I mentioned. So let's start with the restaurant business. I mean, you hit on that first. I mean, there are several market segments within the restaurant business. I mean, the first one is the chain markets. I mean, these range from the quick service industries like McDonald's or Burger King or KFC and Arby's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, and about a half dozen more. Second, there's also the chain markets, but they're a little more family-oriented, like Applebee's or Bob Evans or, you know, maybe Olive Garden or Pizza Hut, TGI Fridays. I mean, there are many, many more. They're just some of the more well-known names. But third are the independents. I mean, these range from the mom-and-pop breakfast, lunch, and dinner restaurants that, span, a fairly, really the entire gamut of the old stereotypical greasy spoon, so to speak, even though, some more extravagant dining experiences, more, like Leo's or Grove. And, the fourth are really the higher end chains. Locally we go to Charlie's Crab or the Chop House or 616 or Ruth's and P.F. Chang, et cetera. There are also restaurants in the hotel chains, ranging from the highest end of the market to the well below the middle market. So all of these require furniture.
And is the restaurant furniture business important to West Michigan?
Oh, it's a very simple answer to this question, Shelley. It's yes. Restaurant owners and chains all over the world specify and purchase furniture from West Michigan-based furniture manufacturers. They're not commonly known brands, but they are out there within the industry. I mean, Charterhouse Innovations in Zeeland and Grand Rapids Chair are two that immediately come to mind to me. But Charterhouse is best known for their City Flats Hotel Group, and there's others and other participants in the market too.
Yep, I'm going to move to the hotel or casino markets. My guess is this is another growing business segment, correct?
Shelley, you are very intuitive. I'm glad you brought the conversation in this direction. Furniture that is designed for and used in the gaming industry is very specialized and is designed to take a lot of punishment. There are only four companies in North America that produce furniture for the gaming market, but none of them are in West Michigan. However, there is a different and most lucrative side of the business. Shelley, what do you want to guess?
I'm going to guess hotels. True or false?
Bingo, bingo. You are right on target. The correct answer is hotel rooms. And that's where a lot of furniture goes. In regards to guest room furniture and its amenities, during the past 4 years, the hotel industry began the largest renovation processes ever experienced in the industry since the 1990s. One of the major hospitality chain trade publications, which I get, recently forecasted more than 85,000 hotel properties will be undergoing renovations in 2020, compared to in 2018 when more than 65,000. That's up, that's 20,000 when we, it's up by 20,000 when we talked about this in topic 2 years ago. Another 12,300 rooms were built in 2019, which is pretty extraordinary. There were five new hotels constructed in 2019 in Grand Rapids, four in Holland, and two in Muskegon alone. I mean, These are additions, not replacements, and there are more hotels on the books.
Talking from where I sit, the consulting firm of Michael A. Dunlap & Associates, Mike Dunlap on the line. Let's talk a few more numbers, if you would.
The average, let's put it this way. The average hotel size is about 140 persons, 140 rooms, really. That means 11.9 million rooms will be built or renovated in 2019. Now, these rooms will be furnished better than ever before because primarily for the business traveler. Even though a vacation traveler works not during their time off, the average spend by some hotel chains will exceed $3,260 per room. That's over a normal period of time. That's $3.9 billion. I mean, that's the size of the Steelcase. Cheap chairs in hotels will be replaced by more ergonomic and high-priced versions. It's already happening. I mean, height-adjustable work surfaces in guest rooms will be as common as a TV, an air conditioning, or a baggage stand. And in no single hotel chain brand has any more than 4% market share. So competition for the top-rated guest rooms are really incredibly important. It's not just about price. Mm. And it's not limited to guest rooms either. I mean, we've got lobbies, meeting rooms, wellness centers, and other guest services furniture that, you know, products are significant expenditures in this market. But, you know, we expect Wi-Fi wherever we are. So including that in a pool and a fitness center is just common practice.
Cool. Is there a driving shift in demand in the hospitality field? And perhaps what's influencing this change?
Well, we're a mobile culture. I mean, both the business and recreational traveler in today's world, you know, wants to feel more at home than in the past. I mean, being away from home once had a kind of certain mysticism to it, I think, during travel. And I'm certain that many people, you know, still believe that this is true, but many of us don't like to travel very far without the amenities we expect in our own homes. I mean, sometimes we expect more than what we have at home, you know, like a luxurious bed or a whirlpool tub or, you know, a workout space, you know, and of course, ready-made breakfast.
Tell me the demographics of a typical business traveler.
Well, I'm glad you asked, Shelley. I mean, more than two-thirds, actually approaching three-quarters of today's hotel guests are business travelers, and over 40% now are female. Hotel rooms and entire properties are being revamped to better accommodate. But this is the same. But at the same time, you know, with the special needs of baby boomers and those who are, you know, less mobile, business travelers take up to 85% of the short-term rental car business too. You know, when we're traveling, we want our office, we want our kitchen, we want our living room. Safety and privacy, of course, are very high on the list too. And but the bar's got to be raised pretty high to meet the new market demands.
Where does this lead us?
I think it means we have to shift gears here a little bit. It leads to the same home office. I mean, Texas is really the home office topic. I'm going to put an old different spin on this topic, Shelley. The home office market continues to grow, but also remains an enigma with companies like Herman Miller, and Knoll do it pretty well in their markets of classics. But the home office worker market still evolves.
Yes, I'm going to jump down.
And it eludes many of the contract furniture manufacturers. In Steelcase and Hayworth now offer some products for online for the home office, and I expect this will grow further.
Sure. Just a couple minutes left, Mike. I'm going to jump down to the question, what's next for the home office?
Well, what's next for the home office? That's a really good question. But no, I learned back prior to 1993, more than 25 years ago, Herman Miller had already established two entities. They were Herman Miller for the home office and Herman Miller for the home. Both were undoubtedly ahead of their time. There were many newer options to find, and purchase a commercial quality furniture for a home office.
So what is next for the home office? Will it ever be a successful market? Second question.
Well, I'd never say never, Shelley, but I see a new twist to this. I mean, rather than the office coming into the home, I think we're bringing the home, you know, into the office. I mean, this has already been mentioned. I remind you and our listeners that we coined the term crossover furniture back in 2007, and it keeps evolving. Remember the word residential? I mean, I mentioned earlier in the program. At NeoCon 2014, Herman Miller introduced the living office, which is a transition collection of work, home, and leisure products intended for really a new generation of people in the workplace. 2015, they focused on the classics, often appealed to the home office dweller and the millennials, especially in the seating area. 2019, the message is not so much about the home office, but for the small office, where entrepreneurs want to put their stamp on where they work and customize it. So today it's an expansion of both.
Awesome. Got to get back to our pledging. This is Giving Tuesday, so I'm going to cut to the chase, Mike Dunlap, and ask you for your closing comment.
Well, thank you, Shelley. I'm not going to try to make very many forecasts, but it's my job, I guess. But I just did during the last 20 minutes or so. We simply ran out of time. Just kidding. But no, it is true. We ran out of time. I've got no doubt that the commercial furniture industry is in the process of nice, steady growth. 2020 ought to be a very good year, but like always, there still could be a few speed bumps in the road. So I will leave it at that. We went from 120 miles an hour, slowed down to 90, and now we're growing at about, cruising along about 60. Mm. So we're still growing. Things are moving slower, but still on an upward path.
Awesome.
Be an interesting year in another 20 years from now.
Ready for 2020. How do we find out more information about your work?
My website's www.mdunlap-associates.com. Email 616-786. Excuse me, that's my phone. 616-786-3524. Email is mike@mdunlap-associates.com.
Very nice. Lots of numbers under your belt, and specifically those furniture numbers. Thank you for your time, and, well, Happy New Year.